Hey there, welcome back to the Wonderful World Podcast. This is David, and I am really looking forward to today and looking forward to sharing some thoughts with you. Man, this Sermon on the Mount is just powerful, and we'll talk about that. And you know, with everything going on in our culture, I think it's especially relevant. So I just want to take a minute as we kind of kick things off to kind of ask, how is this relevant in our culture? If you think about all the different issues that Jesus has dealt with, I mean, just the first part of understanding that our need and how we are before people, and just we seem detached in that. We are a very we're prideful in culture and prideful in our ways of doing things. It seems like no matter what your side you're on, we're right, everybody else is wrong. And so when you come to this, you're like, Jesus is right and I'm wrong. And Jesus is right and everybody else is wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar, Scripture says. And so that's where I think it is relevant. And with everything going on in the world today, we have had, obviously, a lot of political turmoil in the past year, but then the racial injustices and the things that have surfaced from that. And of course, I'm speaking the day after, we're talking the day after the George Floyd, I shouldn't say that, the Derek Chauvin trial. George Floyd wasn't on trial. He never got one. The Derek Chauvin trial and just everything that happened there and the guilty pleas. And you know, if we could just talk honestly and transparently for just a moment, as I was watching that, and I had just come in and it was on, and I was watching it and I saw them say guilty. I said to my family in our group, our family text, guilty is such a powerful word. It is such a powerful word. Because I'm the kind that, you know, even though I believe someone's guilty and know someone's guilty and know that they needed to pay for their crime, just the power of that word and the power of your life is never going to be the same. But, you know, that's really what Jesus is trying to get to us, is your eternity is never going to be the same because of the guilty. And so we have to understand that. And so that guilt is what makes our world not so wonderful at times. And yet we're talking about Jesus, who came to take the guilt, take the shame. He took everything upon himself. And so that makes us change and look a different direction in a different way. And so we've got that going on in the world. And so it makes us reflect with the things we talked about last week with immorality, and how do we deal with the issues of immorality? How do we deal with issues of divorce? Jesus is speaking to all of this. People breaking their word. We spoke of that. Hatred. Jesus is speaking to that. The Sermon on the Mount is so powerful because you can literally find something from it to deal with every part of your everyday life. And the fact that we are to be followers of Christ and therefore to be salt and light in this world, and just the power of how we're supposed to live this out every single day. And I think that's where the magnitude grabs me, that we have to live this out every single day. It can't be something we live one day at a time. I've kind of disconnected a great deal from social media, especially Facebook, just because of just the constant barrage of negativity. But I'll tell you, it's not just the negativity. I found myself getting overwhelmed with just so much information that is irrelevant. Irrelevant information. And we could probably talk about that. And I know we've talked about social media on here before. But we could just talk about the amount of irrelevant information that I come across every single day, and probably the amount of irrelevant information that I have shared. So if you're on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, you might not get this, but Facebook pops up memories. So 5 years ago, 8 years ago, you said this. And sometimes I'm like, what was that about? Why did I even say that? What was so important that felt like I need to share that with the world? I had pizza tonight. Who cares? I mean, and if I'm not doing it within community, and by the way, that's my thing with social media, that it's not community. Man, I'm really chasing a rabbit here. Let's just go with it, okay? That's one of my big beats with social media. It's not community. So we say we have friends and we have followers and all that stuff, but we really don't, and because we're just telling them. And to show it's not community, notice how many times, especially on like Twitter or Instagram, I'm following this many people and have this many followers. And notice the really, really important people have more followers than they're following. What am I trying to say is we're not really connecting. We're just saying, here's something you need to know about me. I really don't care to hear anything about you. And that's the only reason we share this stuff, because we want to hear about me, and it's not really relevant and it doesn't really apply to anybody else. I just want to tell you my situation. And that's not community. Community is where you go into somebody else's life and enter their world and their situation and find out what life is like with them. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to be salt and light, you have to be part of community and living that out. And so that's what he talks about. So today we're going to talk about what to do when you're living in the world and you're living in community and things don't go like you plan and people don't treat you like you should be treated. There's several different issues here. There's one main one. I'm going to read, this is Matthew 5. This is verse 38 through 42. I'm reading from the New King James right here. Says, you have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Man, we could get a lot here. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your coat also, your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and borrow from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Boy, I butchered that. hopefully you get the point of what I'm saying and what Scripture said there. Okay, let's talk about this for just a second. So really, kind of four quick issues, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, is how he starts it. And then he gives us four illustrations. Turn the other cheek, give him your other outer garment, your inner garment. You can walk 2 miles instead of one when you're compelled to. And then about borrowing and loaning to others. Okay. So here's what he's doing. He's dealing with relationship to others, because the premise of this whole, these four things, was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That is exactly what we try, the kind of justice we try to exact upon people. And this is me getting my vengeance. This is me getting back what you took away from me. An eye for an eye, you took my eye, I take your eye. A tooth for a tooth, you took my tooth, I take your tooth. You strike me, I strike you. You take from me, I take from you. You mistreat me, I get to mistreat you. Don't forget that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is saying, okay, you treated me that way, I get to treat you back. And that's not what the golden rule is about. And so Jesus is addressing this issue, okay, well, you hurt this person here, they get to hurt you here. They did this to you, you get to do this to them. And if we live, and what happens is when we live in a constant state of vengeance, notice the lack of mercy and grace and forgiveness that's ever going to be in that kind of culture. And so Jesus is saying, I'm coming to turn the culture upside down, because I'm coming, instead of creating a culture of vengeance and revenge and get back, I'm bringing you into understanding that the kingdom of God is about grace, mercy, forgiveness, and peace, and love, and all of those things. And an eye for an eye has no place for love. An eye for an eye has no place for peace. Because you think if it's an eye for an eye, that person, oh, I deserve that, so bring it on. No, it always creates more problems and more issues. And he is turning this upside down. Now, I could get into a lot of these. I'm going to mainly deal with the turning the other cheek. What Jesus is not condoning here is in this, he's not condoning to get beat up and just keep getting beat up. He is not condoning someone who is suffering abuse to just keep taking the abuse. Jesus is all wise. In his all wise, he does not say, hey, listen, if somebody's abusing you, just let them keep abusing you, and then you're more like God. That is not what he's saying. There's actually when you read this, there's a much stricter about standing up for yourself and for righteousness here than it is about anything else. So let's get into it. He said, I tell you not to resist an evil person. Okay, are there evil people in this world? Yes. What do evil people want? They want to bring difficulty, pain, and evil into everyone else's life. When he says resist an evil person, He's already talked to them about you're going to have people come against you. As a matter of fact, one of the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted. Who are the persecutors? They're the evil. So you're going to have persecution. People are going to come against you. How do you respond to that evil? Do you respond to that evil? Do you respond to that persecution? Do you respond to that abuse with grace and mercy? Or do you respond? I guess there's three ways you could respond. Do you respond but with grace and mercy? Do you respond by just letting them mistreat you over and over again and just taking the abuse and just, oh, well, nothing I can do about it? Or do you respond by getting revenge? We respond with grace and mercy, but grace and mercy is not weak. And I think that's the issue that we got to deal with. A lot of people think, oh, well, this whole thing is a weak showing. I'm supposed to be a weak person. No, we're showing that we're not supposed to be a vengeful person, but not a weak person. Now, here's what we maybe don't get in our day, in our culture. He says, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Okay. I want you to put yourself in front of someone, imaginary or real, if you're listening with someone. I want you to put yourself in front of someone, and if they are going to slap you on your right cheek, which hand are they going to have to slap you with? In order for them to slap you on your right cheek, they're going to have to slap you with their left hand. However, the hand of authority in Scripture, the hand of authority in Jesus' day was which hand? It was the right hand. So if they're going to slap you on your right cheek and they're going to use their right hand, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to backhand you. And what people were backhanded? What kind of people were treated this way? Insubordinates, slaves, people that were lesser than. It's one thing to be slapped. And even you, it would be one thing to be slapped. It would be another thing to be slapped with a backhand. That's how you treat a nobody. That's how you treat a nothing. That would be how you treat, as Jesus is referring to this and seeing this in his day, a slave. You're a nothing to me, and so I would just use the back of my hand to slap you. You're insignificant. Jesus is saying, you're going to show them, no. I have significance. If you're going to slap me, I'm going to literally turn the other cheek. So you're going to have to slap me on the other cheek. You're going to have to use your hand another way if you're going to slap me like that. Because you can't backhand me with your right hand on my left cheek. You can't do that. And so what I'm trying to display now is that I have decency and I can stand up for myself without resorting to violence and striking you back. I can stand up for myself and say, no, this abuse is going to stop right here without having to strike back and without having to get an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth on you. And this is where grace and mercy shows its strength. You're not going to abuse and you're not going to beat me up because I am going to show you that righteousness is not weak, that righteousness is strong, and you're going to have to show that you are evil, and everybody's going to see that evil. And I'm going to expose it not only to everybody else, but I'm going to expose it to you, that I'm strong enough to not take this. I'm strong enough to show you grace and mercy. And I'm not going to strike you back, but I'm going to let you know this is it right here. I'm standing up for who I am and who I am in Christ. Do you see the difference of this power? And that's why every one of these shows a humility and a grace. You take this garment, I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to show you that you're not going to defeat me. I'm going to show you that you're not going to, my righteousness in Christ is bigger and greater. My righteousness in Jesus, as far as the kingdom of God, is greater than anything you can do to me. The soldier that would compel them to go 1 mile by law, he said, hey, go two. You meant to demean me. You meant to demean me. Now you got to walk another mile with me while I show you grace and mercy. This is what Jesus is wanting us to understand, that the grace and mercy culture of following Christ, the grace and mercy community of the kingdom of God, does not have to bow down, but can stand up strong without resorting to getting you back and giving you what you quote-unquote deserve. And so if you give to him who asked you, that person that asked, instead of, well, I'm going to give it, but I'm going to have some requirements on this. He said instead of them borrowing and you say, well, I'm going to make sure that I get my money back and I'm going to make sure that I get this with interest. He said, no. Just give. Just give. Instead of all trying to keep records, just give. And I heard this advice years ago. If a family member or somebody, and you decide to give something to a family member, just go ahead and give it as a gift. Go ahead and give it as a gift without expecting anything in return, because guess what's going to happen? You're going to ruin a relationship. Instead of charging interest, just give it. And they're going to pay you back. And if they don't pay you back, you did what was honorable. And by the way, we have to have some big boundaries here, because we know people that will take advantage of this. And once again, righteousness and grace and mercy, I'm not going to get taken advantage of. I'm going to say, hey, no, this is what's happened. But I'm not going to give past that, because you can't cripple yourself at the same time and hurt your own family. I'm going to keep giving to this family member. He's saying there's a way to say, no, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. You want to borrow, I'm going to give you interest. You want to borrow $1,000. I'm going to loan to you I'm going to give to you $100. I'm not going to expect anything in return. I don't have $1,000 to give to you, but I'll have this $100, and I'm going to expect anything in return from you, because I'm going to show you grace and mercy. See, there's so much more to this. There's layer on layer, and I could talk for a while on those things. But that's what we need to understand. No, we're going to stand up for righteousness. We're going to stand up for grace. We're going to stand up for peace. We're going to stand up with love. We're going to stand up with mercy. Now, interestingly, what that leads into. Verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hatefully, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, this is the contrast of the standard of the world and the standard of Christ. You have an enemy? Love your enemy. Not eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Oh, you hate me? Well, I hate you right back. Let's go back. If you have hatred in your heart for someone, it's murder. So Jesus would not be telling us, hey, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. No, it's just the opposite. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. Now let's define enemy for just a second, because as followers of Christ, we shouldn't be going around making enemies. These are people that have come against you. These are people that where persecution and all that other comes in. He said, love your enemy. Do good to them. And so we have this obligation here. Obligation to them. So let's deal with this for just a second. I'm sorry, I lost a little bit of connection here. There we go. I don't know if you could hear it on your end, but I could hear it on mine, so I had to stop there, so I got a little distracted. Okay, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Now, what does love look like for my enemy? Okay, well, I like him on the inside, but that's not what he says. Love has action that follows that. And the action that follows that is that we bless. We bless those who curse us, and we do good to those who hate us. We bless those who curse, do good to those who hate us. And he says, by the way, and pray for those. There was the third one. I knew there was a third one. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Okay, so bless, do good, and pray. That's how I demonstrate love to my enemy. I bless them. Now, blessing here is literally a spoken blessing over their life. I'm going to speak blessing into their life. Recently, I had, and I say recently, it wasn't terribly recent, probably in the, within the last, I don't know, probably, yeah, it's been the last year. Last year, I had a, somebody who criticized some things about me, and it really hurt. And you guys know, you've been there, you've been through that, whether it be on your job, in your ministry, whatever you're doing. And it really hurt. And it was somebody that's like, man, why did they say that? So really struggled with it for a couple of days. And I texted an older pastor that I know, and he's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. And I texted him. I said, I just need you to pray for me, kind of going through stuff. Didn't tell him any details. And he texted me. No, he called me, and he said, hey, be at my house at this time. And I'm like, okay. And it went, when somebody in their 80s or so or 90s tells you to be there, you just go. And so I got there and I sat down. And he said, who is it that's talking bad about you? Who is it that's hurt your feelings? And I'm like, I didn't tell him anybody hurt my feelings. And he said, I could just tell that something. And I kind of explained the situation. And he said, okay, here's what I need you to do. He said, I need you to go publicly proclaim blessing over their life. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he began to talk through how the blessing of this. And so I did. I did exactly what he said. And it was amazing just to speak that word. And by the way, it has to be sincere. We talked about it. You can't just say words. But I literally proclaimed public blessing. Do good. I had to do something good for them. And found a way to try to not only bless them with verbally, but I found a way to actually do something nice for them. And I did it. And then pray for them. And I'll be honest with you, the blessing and the doing were hard, but the prayers, like, because sometimes you want to go back to those Psalms, Lord, judge them all, you know? And God's like, no, I want you to pray for their good, and I want you to pray for their well-being, and I want you to pray for the healing that obviously they need, because there's something in them that's causing them to act this way. And so it totally changed my perspective. So pray for them. Pray for them. And he says, we do this, why? That we may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Did you notice that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God? The way we bring peace, people ask me sometimes, well, how can we bring peace in a world right now that there seems no peace? And how can we bring peace against people that are giving us trouble? Bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. I mean, you do that for your family, but big, you know, I shouldn't say big deal, because it is a big deal. But he's saying if you do that for people you know, okay, well, you should be doing that. And by the way, he brings the tax collector into this, because that was the worst of the worst. He's saying even tax collectors greet each other. Even tax collectors love their children. I mean, come on. This is the easy thing. If we're going to point out the worst sinner and you want to put a label on somebody, they even do that. He said, but I want you to grow up. That's what that perfection means. I want you to become more like me. And if you're going to become more like me, you're going to have to love your enemies. And you're going to have to bless people. How many times did Jesus speak blessing? Do good to them. How many times did we do good? Did he do good for people? Pray for them. Isn't it amazing when you look at this, how the entire passage of this last part of chapter 5 flows from grace and mercy? Once again, they're my enemy. They don't deserve my love. It's not eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But they're my enemy. They've talked bad about me, so talk good about them. But they're my enemy, and they've tried to hurt me, so do good for them. But they're my enemy, and they're talking about me behind my back. Well, talk about them to God behind their back. Go to God on their behalf. And we're showing this incredible mercy, and we're standing up for righteousness, we're standing up for peace, and then we'll be called the sons of God. The most loving people in the world that love even people who come against them look more like God than anyone else. And we just celebrate that so much in culture, but it's hard when you have to live it. It's hard when you have to do it. I think about right now, I think about what we're seeing in our world, and especially thinking of the racial issues that are so prevalent right now today. And I think about everything that has been tied into politics in the past year and how much hatred there has been. Hey, what if you know somebody that's the opposite of you on any of these planes, and I have people that are the opposite of me on some of these, what if I just decided to bless them? I mean, in where we're getting angry because somebody does or doesn't wear a mask, what about if I just decided to bless them? What if we're in a world where we're dividing over stuff that just, man, just doesn't matter, and we're looking down at our nose because somebody, because they have taken the vaccine or haven't taken the vaccine. Can you believe that's actually an issue? That's actually an issue? And so we're so, okay, let's stop. Let's stop trying to get back and hurt. And let's just love people like Jesus would love them. And it's amazing that we've created out of enemies out of people that aren't even enemies. You're not my enemy because you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. You're not my enemy because you got the vaccine or didn't get the vaccine. You're not my enemy about any of that. And why would I want to label someone as my enemy? Some of the worst advice I heard years ago, and I need to talk about this more sometime. The worst advice came from a pulpit. There's been some rough stuff that have come from pulpits before. But it said, I'm going to see if I can get this right. My friend's friend is my friend. My friend's enemy is my enemy. My enemy's enemy may possibly be my friend. And I'm like, what? Why are we even talking about enemy? And why would I ever say I have an enemy? I don't look for an enemy. You don't have to make an enemy. Jesus said they're going to come against you whether you like it or not. They hated me. They're going to hate you. Not because you go out looking to be hated. I'm going to look to love even if somebody does. So let's give up on the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth stuff. Let's change all of that. Let's change all of that and show grace and mercy. Turn the other cheek. Stand up. Stand up and say, no, you're going to treat me well, and you're going to treat me with respect, and you're going to treat me like an equal. And you're going to treat me like an equal because I'm going to treat you like an equal, and I'm going to show you grace and mercy, even in this situation where my flesh would lash back, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you, no, this is where it stops. There's grace and mercy, and I'm going to go the extra mile with you, and I'm going to show you that I'll serve you. Even if you want to demean me, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to love you. Love your enemies. And that's powerful. That's really powerful. You can see why this passage is the economy turned upside down of things of God, because he changes everything. So go love somebody today. Love somebody who maybe, if you got somebody that's your critic, man, go speak well of them. You have somebody that is trying to hold you down, lift them up. And watch a complete transformation happen in your life and prayerfully in their life as well. So go talk about somebody behind their back today, but talk to them, talk to Jesus about them today. Hey, thanks for spending some time with me. Look forward to getting into chapter 6, and there's a lot going on and exactly what we're going to talk about there. But as we talk about these things, I hope they help and I hope they benefit you and bless you. You're a blessing to me. Look you up, patreon.com/life180. Love to have you be a part of what we're doing here. Have a great day, and God bless.